It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Hey, Phil. Hey, big ups for yesterday. The event in the park was mean as.
Yeah, so you enjoyed it.
Yes, had a lovely day yesterday. Thank you very much. And happy birthday to Auckland City!
Yeah, 179 years old. Wow. it was a pretty good weekend.
And how old was Auckland yesterday?
179.
Some bits actually look like it's
179. The same year as Waitangi, basically, 1840. So if my maths are right, should be about 179 years.
Can you even imagine, Phil, what it must have been like just to... If you could just somehow, through magic of some sort of amazing teleportation device, probably invented by New Zealander when we're doing that one, to go back to that time, to 1840, and just stand where, and go, guess what's going to happen here in the next 179 years?
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing transformation. It's great looking back at some of those early paintings of Auckland and, you know, the early days of colonial settlement.
No nightclubs back then.
No. Imagine what would happen, you know, if somebody... came back 179 years later, Rip Van Winkle, and you'd kind of look at the thing and you'd just be beyond comprehension. Who would have thought in this tiny little harbour that we had and very, and a smallish population, that suddenly this would be, 1.6 million people. And mind you, there's been a lot of technological change and a lot of development over that time. Imagine what it'll be like in another 179 years.
Do you wish that we could have been the capital? Stuck with it. I mean, how do we get scammed out? We got scammed out of that by somebody, didn't we?
You've got to leave something for Wellington. What would Wellington
Phil!
Do without a capital there? It's a form of regional development. Political capitals in Wellington, and the capital of everything else is in Auckland.
True. And a quarter of the population live here as well.
Well, more than that. It's 36% of the population, 38% of the production of the country. So, Auckland is more predominant in New Zealand than almost any other city is in any other country. You know, we think of London. Hey, it's huge, but it's not a third of the country's
population.
It's
a tiny little armpit of a town, London. It's horrible. Squashed little place.
It's a huge town. It's fantastic. But, it's not predominant in the same way that Auckland is predominant. And that brings us benefits, and we saw some of that over the weekend and the sort of events we can run in town. It also brings us challenges, and that's about building all these new houses and, been driving around looking at the rate at which, new buildings and new houses are going up. $73 billion worth of commercial building and construction going on, plus 13,000 houses in the process of construction each year. So, it's good.
Fingers crossed it all works.
Yeah.
Phil, what about we just sell Chamberlain Park, man? Come on, the golf course. It's just a big old, publicy. I mean, it's one of the more rugged of the golf courses, let's be honest. And we could put heaps of houses there, Phil. Mayor.
What the Albert Eden local board is doing, I think makes some sense. They want to keep a 9-hole golf course and a driving range, but they're saying, hey, we're really short of public open space in our area. Can't all be about golf courses. We've got to, we want playgrounds and we want natural bush areas and we want areas for recreation
Which all sounds really, really good, but then Auckland City Council's bid to slash Chamberlain Park in half has been opposed by golfers.
Yeah,
I wasn't aware that golfers had so much power in the city.
They do. they have an enormous amount of power, and the ones that
come on, Phil, stand up.
the ones that run Remuera Golf Course, which is potentially worth up to $500 million.
They're pretty sure.
Just before the last election to extend their lease to 2091.
Did they? 2091. The selfish pricks. Are you serious?
I'm still talking to Remuera Golf Course. I'd like to see the thing opened up. They've got some plans to open up, but
they've got some plans to play golf. Is what they've got plans for.
That's the predominant thing. But to make the most of it for the most people is also a good idea. Even something like St Andrews, the famous golf course in Scotland. On Sundays, it's open to the public, and you can treat it as a public park. They probably don't want you walking in heavy boots over the greens, but the public can go through and enjoy.
There's an understanding.
Yeah, and, you know, I've said to the Remuera Golf Club people, well, hey, have a think about what you could do with walkways or cycleways. You know, obviously you don't want people going to get sconed by a golf ball as they walk through it. But, I think you've just got to think laterally about the potential to say this is a public asset. It needs to be available to the widest number of people. What sort of arrangement can we reach so that more people can use it and Aucklanders can get a return on one of their most valuable assets?
So we're talking about Remuera Golf Course or Chamberlain Park now?
No, well, Remuera, but Chamberlain
Park. Let's go back to Chamberlain Park, because that's the one that's sort of...
On a smaller scale, yeah. is the same thing, you know. It is a decision by the local board. They've got jurisdiction. It's a local park. And they've made the decision, and it was fought in the election campaign in 2016. This is how they wanted to develop Chamberlain Park. Now, look, I can understand the position of the golfers. You know, they love their golf course there, and they would love it exclusively to themselves.
Yeah.
But the board also has to make... it's got to make a decision.
Did the board make a decision regarding resource consent? That should have been a public decision. Was that a mistake?
It was a mistake, and that wasn't the board. That was council planning officers. I raised that with them. I said, "How, you know, why didn't you notify?" They said, "Well, look, it's about a children's playground. It's not actually affecting the golf course at this point."
That's a blunder, though, isn't it?
It was a mistake. Blunder probably takes it up to a different level. Okay, now it will be notified. There will be a proper process. They've got to think about whether they just do the consent for this little piece of playground that I can't imagine would have been very controversial, or whether they look for an omnibus consent to cover the wider development of the park. So, yep, they sometimes get it wrong, and in this case they did get it wrong, but I don't think it's a capital offence.
All right. So the trains weren't running yesterday, but we all knew that was going to be the case.
On Friday? Or?
Well, yeah, I mean, they weren't running yesterday, were they?
You're talking about... For the
anniversary day,
but
they also weren't working on Friday. Now Friday wasn't anything special there. That was a Friday. That was a busy Friday where our Aucklanders need to travel on public transport. What was the dickens is going on?
Yeah, well, it was a problem.
No point. Honking the horn for public transport if the public transport's not going.
No. And this was a problem with the Kiwi Rail signalling system. They have a main system and then they have two backups. The main system failed, but the first backup failed, and they were relying on the third backup, which really slowed things down. They got it right by about 3:30 in the afternoon, and there was still a bit of a backlog. I rang up Kiwi Rail and talked to their acting general manager.
Hello,
about
it's the mayor here.
What's going on? It is a big deal when a public transport system like that fails,
especially when you're really trying to sell the idea to people. Hard out like we are in Auckland at the moment.
Yeah. It shouldn't have happened. It did happen. And what I've asked for is I want a full explanation of why the backup system didn't work and how we can be sure that in the future we're not going to have a reoccurrence of this nature. Now, I do know that they're changing their signalling system quite comprehensively within 18 months.
Good.
But I want to know what's happening over the next 18 months, and I want to know that they've learnt the lesson from what happened here and that it won't happen again, because that was a major inconvenience, and it was an unfortunate day because, you know, the Friday before a long weekend, it is just a bloody nightmare as you try to get around the, you know, particularly with the motorways jam-packed. Yep. So you want your public system, transport system, to be working on that of all days, and it wasn't. And that's not good enough. And I told Kiwi Rail what I thought about that, and they need to get it fixed. They will come back to me within the next week with an explanation, and I hope an assurance that the specific problem that caused this one will not be repeated.
The focus has been on public transport, and the reason for the fuel tax. We've been told is because, you know, more of us need to be using public transport, but the fuel tax itself is looks like it's going to be thrown into the political arena. John Tamahere, who's announced he's running for mayoralty next time round for mayoralty of Auckland, he's saying he'll get rid of it, he'll dump it.
Yeah, isn't this a wonderful example of
isn't he one of your Labour mates?
Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. My challenge is this, whether it's to John Tamahiri or Simon Bridges or anybody else that talks about they're going to take the fuel tax out. That raises, because we leverage off that to get matching subsidies from central government and from development contributions, because it enables us to develop new areas and the developers have to contribute the cost of that. That raises $4.3 billion over the next 10 years in the 10-year budget. So you're going to do away with this? Now, just explain to me, please, where are you going to get that $4.3 billion from? Because without that, we would not be doing any of the major projects that Auckland needs to decongest our traffic in Auckland. We would grind to a halt, and anybody that's big and brave and says, oh yeah, we're not going to charge the public anything, we're going to do it for nothing. I ran in the last election, very unwise as a candidate to run on a tax, but I said to people, look, I've been around long enough to know that if we don't have a contribution that we can make and we can leverage money off that, we're not going to be able to solve this problem. Yeah, everybody says, oh, let the government solve it. Yeah, they weren't going to do that. Not the last government, not this government, unless we were prepared to have some skin in the game.
Yep.
So you cut out this tax. Tell me where the money's coming from, or are you going to let the city gridlock?
I thought it was a pretty weird card for him to play at this stage, actually. When are you going to run for the mayoralty next time or not?
I'm making an announcement probably in the next month.
Make it now. Tell us now. We're running it now.
That's an exclusive. If I tell you, you won't tell anybody else.
No.
Yeah,
bro,
that's okay.
It's a secret between the two of us. But that'd be unfair to everybody else, wouldn't it? Hey, Phil, thank you. We're going to go. We'll talk to you again next time.
Enjoy the sunshine. Don't get too hot out there today.
Hey, it's not just Auckland sunshine, Phil. You're not the mayor of the sunshine. But yes, okay. Thanks very much. We'll do. Thanks very much. All the best.
Responsibility for that one, no.
Have a good week.
Okay, mate.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.